thank the Lord for being here tonight. Appreciate all the wonderful songs. I'm glad I'm in good hands tonight. I thought about the song, being on the winning side, and I thought about what Brother Darren talked about being kept. And I'm glad I'm in good hands tonight. Similar to the world we live in, people get a lot of insurance policies or different. I'm glad I've got an assurance policy. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Good to be here tonight. I told Brother Darren, and I mean this with all my heart, and you know how I feel about Preacher Darren. I love him from the bottom of my heart, and I feel honored to get to come back to Bethel one more time and get to worship. And I know what worship's about. I know it's about telling Jesus how lovely He is. It's about telling Him how wonderful He is. And what a wretch I was. Yeah. How He got me out, it was Him. Old Steve over there said a minute ago, said I couldn't get to Him. I said I couldn't either, but He got to me. Yeah. He sought me out. Yeah. He came to where I was. So that's what worship's about. Just tell Him how good He is. Yeah. And preacher, what if I tell it all? Preacher, you won't tell Him all. Yeah. You can tell Him from now to eternity, and you can't tell Him all how good He is. Amen. I appreciate the Lord tonight. And I know what it's about. It's got to be done in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. Good to be here tonight. I ask you to pray for us. But I told Preacher Darren, I said, I feel the least among all that God has ever called. I mean that with all my heart. I told him, I said, I'm just tickled to death to get to be with my two favorite preachers this week, Brother Darren and Brother Crick. And excited about getting to be with Preacher Edwards. And pray for him. Lift him up in prayer as he travels up here tomorrow. We're just excited about being in revival. Appreciate each and every one. Well, let me say this. Thank you for every Tuesday night and every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday that you prayed for me. I really appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. Turn with us to Exodus chapter number 34 in the Word of God. Amen. Reading out of the King James Version. The infallible, inerrant Word of God doesn't need any help. It don't need me. I need it. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 34. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. And then we'll skip to the later part of that chapter. Ask you to pray for us. I want to say we appreciate some from Heaven Bound Church has come to be with us tonight. We appreciate them. From down on Mine Creek, Brother Darren, we got to see about four or five rededications this morning. And one got saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for what we've heard, for what's been going on around here. Thank God for that. Amen. Exodus chapter 34, starting verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord of stone like unto which in the morning unto mountain present, and no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into the Mount Sinai, and as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud," that again. "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by," thank God. "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation." Please skip over later in that chapter to verse number 28. The Bible says, "And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink table, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them." Now, I've got to believe that while Aaron and while the others stood around, Brother Jerry, and while they looked at Moses, I've got to believe in their curiosity, they would have had to ask the question, "Moses, where have you been?" And I believe you would have heard this reply, from a good old man of God named Moses. I've been with Jesus. I want to preach by the help of the Lord tonight on where have you been. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this evening, Lord, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, it's good to be with Your people one more time on this side of eternity. God, to worship You, to tell You how lovely You are, to tell You how wonderful You are. Father, Lord, I thank You for everything that You've done for me. Most of all, for saving a sinner like me. God, would You be with us tonight in the message? God, I pray, would You deliver the words that need to be delivered tonight? God, would You bless this revival in a mighty and great way? Lord, would You bless Brother Darren, Lord, as he pastors the church here at Bethlehem? Bless each and every one that's come this way. Lord, be with Preacher Edwards as he comes this week and bless him abundantly. Oh, God, be with us tonight now, Lord. Lord, we're looking unto You. Father, we know, Lord, we can depend upon You. Lord, we have confidence in You. We do not have confidence in ourselves. Oh, but God, I have confidence in You. Lord, You have never let me down. You have never forsaken me. But You're going with me all the way, even to the end of the world. God, deliver the message needful tonight. Thank You for the reading of Thy Word. And we'll praise You and say, Jesus did it all. For it's in Jesus' name, our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. In this Scripture, I believe you can find this is a very important time in Moses' life. Because I believe Moses is in a time in his life where he's been through a great disappointment. I believe he's been through a great disappointment right here. And let me say, if you go back through the life of Moses, Moses faced a lot of disappointments. There was a lot of things that came his way. And can I say this? There's going to be things come your way. There's going to be things that you're going to have to face. There's going to be storms you're going to have to go through. As good a man as Paul the Apostle was, times, and he would have to escape out of cities. Paul was stoned and he was beaten many times. But through all of that, he still knew one thing. I've got God. If I've got everybody else against me, I've still got the Lord. So there's disappointments that we have to face. And I might have caught you tonight right in the middle of a great disappointment. Something that you've been through. Something that you're going through right now. And can I say, God's still God. And God is good. And He's good all the time. And we read in this Scripture that this is a great chapter in Moses' life. A lot is going to happen in this chapter that's going to encourage the heart of Moses. That's going to let him go on one more bow for Jesus. Let me say, revival is a good time to get encouraged. Revival might have caught you at the right time. Can I say, revival's good all the time. And it gives us that encouragement that we need to go on another mile. Can I say, when I begin to look around, kind of like Peter did, sometimes you get discouraged and you begin to sink. But Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I'm glad I'm running that race, hallelujah. And I'm looking under the finish line. And he said, I'm looking under Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So can I say this? The finish line might be around the next bend, James. Maybe just one more hill. Maybe just one more valley. Maybe just one more day. We do not know. But can I say this? Hallelujah. It's out there ahead of us. And the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. As some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to usward, not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is a pivotal time in Moses' life. If you go back in the book of Exodus and you begin to study the life of Moses, you find a place in the book of Exodus that it mentions over in Hebrews chapter number 11 that when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he left Egypt at 40 years of age. But after 40 more years, he's going to meet God on the backside of the desert. And God's going to speak to him out of the burning bush. And the bush is not going to be consumed. And the Lord's going to say, Moses, go down to the land of Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And ask, Lord, when I go down there, who do I tell them sent me? They're going to ask me, where have you been? And Lord, if I tell them I've been talking to a bush, they'll look at me like I'm crazy. But boy, I'll tell you what, I can see Moses come off the mountain. You ever thought about this? He was living with Jethro there, his father-in-law. Had his wife there, Zipporah. Had his boys, Gershom and Manasseh. And I can see him as he comes back off the backside of the desert. And he comes in from the hot part of the day. And he comes in to rest, maybe get a little bit of supper. I can see Jethro look at him there and say, Moses, where you been today? I believe that's a big eyed look on his face, Dennis. I believe that's a look unlike any other look that Jethro had seen. And I believe Jethro said, something's different today. Something's different today. You've been doing more than just keeping sheep up there on the backside of the desert. And I got to believe that Jethro was a good man. I believe that with all my heart as I read the Scripture. I believe Jethro was a good man. I believe Jethro understood when Moses said, I got to do what God wants me to do. Jethro understood that. There's going to be people maybe even in your family or in your life, close friends, that you're going to have to go God's way and they're not going to go with you. They're not going to back you. But Jethro was a man, I believe he looked. Brother Jerry, I believe he looked at Moses and he said, something's different about you today. Where have you been? Where have you been? I've been with the Lord. What do you mean you've been with the Lord? I mean, you tell people that they're going to ask questions, man. They're going to ask questions. Where have you been? I've been with the Lord. How'd it happen, son? Well, he appeared in a bush that burned with fire and it was not consumed. And I was just going to walk by it. I was just going to walk by it, Shane. But he said, I couldn't walk by it. I couldn't walk by it. I just couldn't pass by it. So I turned and I said, I will now look at this great sight. And Jethro, you might not believe this, but it happened. Hallelujah. I happened. When I looked at that bush, God spoke out of it. And he said, Moses, stop where you're at. Don't come any closer. Take your shoes off, for the ground whereon you stand is holy ground. I can see Jethro in excitement say, well, what else did he say? And I can see Moses say, he told me I've got to go to Egypt. Son, you've been in Egypt, but it's been 40 years ago. He said, I got to go back. What's he wanting to do, son? I mean, I believe Zipporah, and I believe Jethro was very inquisitive about this. Where have you been? I've been talking to the Lord. I'm glad when the Lord passes by, big things happen. And the things He might tell you to do, it might be beyond your comprehension. But you know what? His ways are above my ways. And His thoughts are above my thoughts. You look at me tonight and you say, preacher, I've been with Him and He's told me to do something that I just can't believe, that I just can't fathom. Why don't you step out, child, and walk by faith and watch what God can do. Believe Him when you talk to Him. Trust Him when you commune with Him. When He tells you something, you can take Him at His word. The day He got in Peter's boat and launched out from the land and taught the people, I've got to believe Peter stopped what he's doing. And he's saying there's something about the word that man's speaking. You know why? Because he was hearing the word quote the word. He was hearing the word talk about the word. And Jesus turned around and looked at Peter and said, let down your net out in the deep for a draught. And when Peter had toiled all night and taken nothing, and when he didn't feel like fishing anymore, Steve, he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Take God at His word and watch what He can do. Take Him at His word. What else did He say, Moses? He told me to go down and tell Pharaoh, the great I Am says, let my people go. Why, Moses, there's 600,000 plus people down there. They've been down there for 430 years. But God said to go down there and tell him. And that's exactly what he done. He knew there would be people that he would come in contact with that would look at him like he's crazy. But don't the Bible say we're a peculiar people? Don't the Bible say we've come out from among the world and we are separated? We're separate. And I'm glad of that tonight. And the Bible said he goes down there. After 10 plagues, you know the story. After 10 plagues, they come out of Egypt. And after they come out of Egypt, and they come across the Red Sea and they see the wonder at what God does at the Red Sea. Certainly Moses is encouraged and Moses is excited and Moses is motivated. And you even find there in one place where he begins to sing a song as Miriam, his sister, takes a harp and she dances and plays. And they sing a Lord of song. They sing a victor song. Kind of like victory in Jesus. They sing that song. Surely Moses thinks, boy, everything's going good now. But there's disappointments that start 2 months out of Egypt. 2 months out of Egypt, Shane. Here comes Mr. Disappointment. You know what Paul said, when I would do the good, evil is present. And it was like that in Moses' day, and friend, it's still like that in 2008. It sure is. So the Bible tells us, and I just want to point out just a few things to you. After about 2 months, in Exodus chapter number 15, just to mention a few, and you do not have to turn there. But in Exodus chapter 15, you see the people come to a place called Marah. And the Bible said they begin to murmur about water. The Bible said God shows Moses a tree to cut down into the water. And when he cuts it down into the water, it becomes sweet. God comes on the scene and helps out there. In Exodus chapter 16, you watch them leave Marah and leave a place called Elam and go on into a place called the wilderness of Sin. And there you watch them begin to complain about hunger and thirst. And in that chapter, Exodus chapter 16, they've been out of Egypt 2 months and about 15 days. And the Bible said that God sends them manna in the morning and quails in the evening. And it's as far as their eye can see. And God supplies that need, even those that are murmuring. As you go on into Exodus chapter 17, you watch as they come into a place called Rephidim. And when they come into that place called Rephidim, you watch them begin to complain again. And Moses gets to a point to where they complain and murmur so much to Moses and Aaron that Moses goes to God and says, God, all these people can do is murmur. All they do is complain. Preacher, and I know sometimes as a pastor, that's what you feel like at times. But I am so glad that God can help us. God can give us what we stand in need of. Friend, can we just look around for a minute and just recognize how good God is? There's no need to complain. It's like David said over there in the book of Psalms in one of those chapters. He said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, if it had not been the Lord tonight, church, we'd have something to murmur about. But because of the Lord, I have peace. I have joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And I have a heart that's been washed in the most precious blood that was ever shed. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's a good day to be a Christian. Amen. Closer to the finish line than we've ever been. Closer to seeing Him face to face. And Shane, when we see Him, we will be as He is, for we shall see Him as He is. Isn't that wonderful? It's a good day. He might come tonight. Who knows? I say it with John the Revelator. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Much disappointment. Many things that Moses is facing. But you notice in every one of these disappointments, God sends him that he stands in need of. God helps him out in his disappointments. But I want to draw your attention to Exodus chapter number 19. If you go there with me. Exodus chapter number 19. Now you're going to watch them come through the wilderness of Sin. And you're going to watch them come to Sinai. And they're going to come to number 19. They have been out of Egypt for 3 months. And when they come to Sinai, you're going to watch in these next few chapters that God is going to begin to talk to Moses from top of the mountain. He's going to begin to tell Moses to put a bounds around the mountain and let not one person touch the mountain. Don't let a beast touch the mountain. Set up a place where they cannot break through. Because if through their curiosity they try to break through, surely they'll be killed by God Almighty. But there comes a time that you'll see over in Exodus chapter 19, and I'm not going to read it to you, I'm just going to tell you the places. And you can go study it for yourself. But you're going to watch God call to Moses. And you're going to watch Moses go up there to the top of the mountain. You're going to watch as he goes up there. There's going to be a long trumpet sound, lightning and thundering. You're going to see the people tell Moses, Moses, don't let God talk to us, for if he does, we'll surely die. But you watch those people, watch a good man named Moses go up into the midst of the cloud. Why? Because that's his friend. He's going to talk to his friend.
friend. Moses loves the Lord, and he's got it this way. Whatever God tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. So the Bible says he goes up there and he spends 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible said there comes a day, Brother John, that the Bible says God speaks to Moses. And he says, Moses, get down from here. Get down from this mountain. Now, there was great communion going on top of the mountain. There was a lot of things taking place while the people was around the bottom of the mountain. The Bible said that Moses was being told many things. The Bible said that a finger was reached out of glory and the hand of God in tables of stone, front and back, wrote the Ten Commandments. You're going to see on the mount that God's going to tell him about the tabernacle. He's going to tell him about the priest and how they should be adorned. He's going to tell him about the Ark of the Covenant. He's even going to tell him about the men in Exodus chapter 31 that's supposed to be set aside to even do this work. All these things are taking place. All these things, that's a good time on the mountain, isn't it? Any time with God is good time. Time well spent. But in the midst of this, if you'll turn on over, all the way from Exodus 19, all the way to the end of chapter number 31 and 32, you'll find that that's the time that Moses is on the mountain the first time. But I want you to look at Exodus chapter number 32. And then when you go to Exodus chapter 32, you're going to watch God say, get down from here. Now, can you imagine how pumped up Moses is right now? Can you imagine how excited he is? I mean, friend, when you leave a wonderful service, and you've only been there 2, maybe 3 hours. How about when you've been there 40 days and 40 nights? I mean, you've been talking with him. I mean, he's been coming by and stirring your soul. Can you imagine the excitement that Moses had? But God comes to him and says, Moses, they're doing such ungodly things. I'm going to wipe them out before you get to the bottom of the mountain. And Moses falls on his knees and says, oh God, please don't do that. Please don't do that. And through Moses' prayer, God spares the people. But in Exodus chapter 32, when you watch Moses walk off that mountain, I believe what you're looking at is a disappointed man of God. I believe you're looking at a man that is on the bottom. I believe he's discouraged. I believe he is down and out. Because there comes a place when he's stripped off the mountain that he meets up with Joshua, the son of Nun. And Joshua says, I hear noise in the camp. And Moses says, it's not the noise of mastery like in battle, or it's not the noise of being overtaken in battle. But he said, it's the noise of singing and dancing and all this play that I do here. You're going to watch Moses come off the mountain, and friend, he's discouraged. He's discouraged. He left these people with Aaron and Hur and these other men, and he took Joshua with him. And they've been with Aaron and Hur, and while he's been gone, his own brother that stood beside of him when he stood there against Pharaoh, and God would tell him, and he would tell Aaron, and Aaron would tell Pharaoh, this same man has now took a carving tool and melted down all the necklaces and the gold and carved a golden calf and set it up and said, these are the gods. Discouraged Moses would be. Can you imagine how discouraged you would be if you returned back to church one Sunday and things had changed? It wasn't the old time way anymore. You know what? There's a lot of churches out there that are returning back next Sunday and it's not like it used to be. And then they're returning back the next Sunday and it's a little bit farther away from what it used to be. And then they return the next Sunday and it's a little bit farther away than what they used to be. I'm like Jeremiah, I'll just stay with the old faith. It's the good way and it's where we'll find rest for our souls. Can you imagine only 3 months out of Egypt? 3 months. This man's discouraged. Moses is discouraged. And he cast the tables of stone out of his hands and they broke beneath him, beneath the mount. And the Bible said 3,000 people were killed by the Levites that day. 3,000 people dead. Discouragement. Huh? It's discouraging when you see someone come and come and come and then they just stop. that concerns you doesn't, preacher, die. When you get up and they're not here, and you just pass it off like, I'll just catch it next Sunday. And then when next Sunday's here, you don't show up again. And when Preacher Darren gets up and doesn't see you, that's discouragement. Where are they at? Don't they know this is the good way? Don't they know that this is what we got to do? We've got to devote our lives to this. Don't you think Moses was asking questions, Steve? Don't you think he was saying, Aaron, what in the world, son? Well, Moses, just where have you been? I've been with the Lord, son. I've been with God. I've been talking with Him and He's been instructing me on what I should give to you. Can I tell you something? Thank God for the preacher you got. When he gets up in front of you on Sunday mornings, and it's not a habit for Darren Waters to say this, it's not a habit for him to tell you God give him something to give you. That ought to tickle you today. Because you have no question in your mind where your preacher has been. He's not been on the internet looking for one. He's not been down at the bookstore looking through paperbacks trying to find one. Them 100 sermons or whatever you want to call it. But you know where he's been. Somewhere over on Grassy Creek. I don't know where his prayer spot is, but I guarantee he's got one. Somewhere he fell on his knees. Got with God and stayed a while. Huh? That's a good thing about getting with God. Just stay a while and watch what he can tell you. Watch what he can show you. He got up off that, went and got his Bible and studied the Word of God. And when he stands before you and says, Church, I've been with the Lord, and here's what he's told me. That's why 51's been saved in 52 weeks. Praise the Lord. Where you been, preacher? I've been with God. You know what you ought to do? You accept that response. And if he gives you that response, don't you ever question what he preaches. It comes from God. It has no apology tied behind it. It has no explanation because thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. Don't have to tell you why, I just tell you, I got it from God. Huh? Amen. Amen. Don't you think he was discouraged? Down and out? At a deep place in his life? And through all of this, you're going to find as it goes on into chapter number 33, you're going to find Moses, after all these people are dead, 3,000 people, he's disappointed in Aaron because the Bible even told us over in Exodus chapter number 32, verse number 25, that his own brother had made the people the way they were, made them naked. As it goes on into Exodus chapter 33, Moses don't want to stay in the condition he's in. He's tired of this spot that he's in. And he goes into the tabernacle, which is outside the camp. And Joshua goes with him, and he gets down on his knees, and he begins to ask God for something. He says over, and I want you to look at this in the Word of God. He says in verse number 13 of chapter number 33 of the book of Exodus, he says, Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. When he didn't know what else to do, he just went and talked to the Father. Sometimes in our greatest times of disappointment, that's the last person we talk to. There's nothing wrong with getting on the phone and telling your friend your disappointment. There's nothing wrong with getting on the phone and telling your friend, please pray for me. But why is it that we call Jesus last? Why is it that we've expounded our problem to everybody else in detail? But then we just give Jesus about 30 seconds and go on our way. God wants to hear what you're going through. God already knows what you're going through, but God wants to hear it from your lips. I preached last Sunday night on why does an omniscient God ask questions. David said in one place, he said, I acknowledged my sin. That's why an omniscient God asks questions. He knows it all. He's seen you done it. He's seen you go through that disappointment. But then you hear a holy voice come out of heaven and says, what do you need? What is it that you're looking for? Preacher, why does he ask that when he already knows the answer? Because he wants to hear it come from mine and your lips. That God, I can't make it without you. God, I can't walk another step without you. God knew what Moses was going through. It wasn't that God had left him. It wasn't that Moses had done something wrong because he was in this disappointment. God knew what he was going through. And I've got to believe something stirred on the inside of a man named Moses, and he made his way up to the house of God. Made his way there to the tabernacle, and he got in there and he said, oh Lord, show me thy glory. He said, and you're going to hear him say here in other verses, the Lord's going to tell him he's going to go with him. And Moses says this, Lord, if you don't go with me, I don't want to go. That's what he tells him. I don't want to go if you don't go, Lord. Watch what he says as we go on down here. The Bible says in verse number 16 of Exodus 33, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Watch Moses beg right here. Watch him plead with God. Verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, Lord, I'm a begging. Pass by. I know that's exactly what you've been praying these Tuesday nights. Lord, I beseech thee, show us thy glory. Come by, Lord. Why, preacher, we've seen it before. Ain't nothing wrong with seeing it again. Ain't nothing wrong with having another revival. Hallelujah. I beseech thee. I believe, hear me now, I believe we're getting to an excited moment now in Moses' life. I believe we're getting to a moment where he said, this disappointment's going to pass. Can I tell you something? That disappointment's going to pass. God's coming by. Huh? You don't, preacher, how do you know? Because he told me he would. Huh? He told me he would. So we see here he's getting a little excited. He said, Lord, now I beseech thee, show me thy glory. If you're going somewhere with someone, and they tell you, I'll be at your house at such and such time, you begin as it gets closer to anticipate that. Huh? These children, you don't have to tell them what December the 25th is. They anticipate it. They'll wake you up at 6 a.m. on December the 25th or earlier and tell you what day it is, even if you've forgotten. They're getting excited. Something's a-coming. I'm getting ready to get something here. Did you come with that excitement tonight? Isn't that what church should be all about? Huh? Boy, I'm excited about what God's going to do at revival. I'm excited about what God's going to do for us tonight. And if we come back tomorrow night, what He's going to do tomorrow night, you know why I'm being excited about that? I'm excited what He done this morning. I'm excited what He's going to do right now. And I'm excited what He's going to do tomorrow night, because He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hallelujah. He's God. And besides Him, there is no other. He's getting excited, Darren. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Watch the next few verses in your Bible. Verse 19, and he said, I will make. This is God speaking, and you can take it at His word. I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Can you imagine, church? You and I have just gotten experience just a little bit. But I've always said a little bit of God's a whole lot to me, though. Huh? Just a little bit more is a whole lot to me. But He's going to tell Moses, wouldn't you get excited? I guess, preacher. I'm telling you, Moses was excited. Moses was encouraged. Moses was in great anticipation. Moses was on the edge of his seat. God's saying, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before it. Listen to this, Shane. God's going to come by and He's going to proclaim Himself. That's what He just told Moses. Himself. God's going to come by and tell you who He is. You know what? Every time He saves a soul, you can just say God came by and just told you how much He is and what He is and how good He is. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't you be excited? Aren't you excited tonight? I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. I want you to skip later in that chapter, and then I've got to go to chapter 34. Let me go on to chapter 34. Listen to this. You know what it says there at the end of chapter 33? It says, I will put thee in the cliff of the rock, and while I pass by, I'll lay my hand over you. I'll lay my hand over you. Why, preacher, he's going to miss getting to see some of that. Yeah, but he's going to feel the hand of God. Hey, winner either way, hallelujah. God's going to put His hand over it, and He's going to come by and proclaim Himself. Oh, what He's going to hear. I believe it was John the Revelator said, I heard a sound of a voice as many waters, like a mighty rushing wind. He said, I turned around and looked, and then behold, in the midst of those seven golden candlesticks, I stood one like the Son of God. And He stood girded down to the paths, and His hair was white as snow, and His eyes were a flame of fire, and His feet burned like fine brass, and out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Amen. Glory, that's Him, hallelujah. He's coming by, Moses. He's coming by. And He said, when I get by you, I'm going to take my hand off of you, and you'll see my hinder parts. Because no man has seen me and lived. So He's telling him this, and I want you to get this in chapter 34. Listen to verses 1 and 2. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like in the first, and I will write upon these tables the word that were in the first tables which thou breakest. So what He's telling him this, be encouraged, Moses. The word's still alive. Huh? Just because them stones are broken don't mean I forgot what I wrote down. I'll just let you chew on that a while. But He said, listen, He said, you go hew them two tables of stone, and I'll just write it down again. Yeah. And He said, early in the morning, look at verse 2, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning into Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. So He says, go do, Shane. I believe He come out of the tabernacle. I believe He went and He hewed them tables of stone out, and I don't know how long that took, but He was busy at work. He didn't have time to do anything else because He had this on His mind. I've got to get them tables of stone hewed out. I've got to get this done that God's told me to do my part and God to do His. Isn't that exactly what you've been doing, Bethel? You've been doing your part. You've been meeting out. You had that 24-hour of prayer. And even if your time was 8 p.m. or 2:30 a.m., you've done your part because you knew if you do your part, God to do His. Will you take Him at His word? He's coming by. You ready? He's coming by. Shoot them two tables out. I believe maybe Aaron came over. What are you doing? I ain't got time, Aaron. I ain't got time. Whatever it is, it can wait. Whatever it is, it can wait. What are you doing? I'm hewing two tables of stone out. Why, Moses? Where you going? I'm going back to the mountain. When you going? I'm going early in the morning. When you going to take off? When God tells me to. You ever had something coming up like the next day? For instance, when your youngin' was born. I'll never forget January 30th, 2006. I couldn't sleep that night. It was the day before January 31st, 2006 when that little boy of mine was going to be born. And I'd waited 7 years and I was in great anticipation. I mean, I was excited. It didn't bother me to miss sleep that night. I believe this was a night that Moses maybe just couldn't get a bit of sleep. Very early in the morning, here comes God. Come on up here, son. Come on up here. Meet me at the top of the hill. Meet me at the top. Be obedient. Can I say this? Be obedient in this revival. Do what God wants you to do. Meet God at the top of the hill. And then watch what God can do. And then when people ask you, where in the world you been? I've been with the Lord. And that's made all the difference. Watch this. The Bible says, verse 4, And he hewed two tables of stone like in the first. So you see the obedience of Moses. And Moses rose up early in the morning. Huh? Didn't sleep in. Didn't want to sleep in. Rose up early in the Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And took in his hand the two tables of stone. When he got up there, he's done what he's supposed to do. He's been obedient to God. He's going to spend 40 days and 40 nights. And he's not going to eat. And he's not going to drink anything. But he's not worried about that. He's not concerned about that. He's not fretting about that. Because he knows the Lord's coming. And he knows he's been in a valley of discouragement. He's seen ungodly things going on with a group of people that used to enjoy the things of the Lord. But he said, I'm discouraged through this, but I'll go back and seek the face of God. And now he's on the top of the mountain early in the morning. And watch what happens in verse 5. And the Lord descended just as he said he would. He's that kind of God. Bible said it's impossible for him to lie. He's not going to lie. You know why? He's truth. He is truth. Bible said the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Preacher, what do you think he might have said? He might have come by and said, I am the great I am. I'm the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. I'm the door. I'm the vine. I'm the bread of life. I'm the water of life. I am the resurrection. Huh? He's coming by and he's talking about himself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said this in verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundance in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. Watch what Moses does in verse 8. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Glorify thy name. Thank you for what you've done for me today. And after seeing what he saw in the cleft of the rock, after feeling what he felt in the cleft of the rock, after 40 days and 40 nights, he comes down off the mountain in verse 28, and Aaron says, you're going to have to put a veil over that face. We can't look on you. Where in the world, Moses, have you been? I've been with the Lord. I've been with the Lord. They didn't need to ask him any more than that because they had proof. They had proof. Isn't that what you want here this week, church? You've asked for the Lord to come by. You've sought him out as diligently as you know how to. You've sacrificed and went without eating and fasted and prayed and got on this altar and wept and cried and cried for lost loved ones that you want to see saved in this revival. Now I want to say thank you for the prayers you prayed for me and Preacher Edwards. I want to thank you for that. You're waiting on God to do what He said He's going to do, and He's going to do it. You got to believe Him. You got to trust Him. And don't you want to leave this revival with proof that you've been with God, that God's come down, that the cloud has hovered the place, as it was in the days of Solomon after he got it built and it was as beautiful as it was. The Bible said the smoke filled the room so that the priests couldn't stand to minister. They had to go outside. Proof that you've been with the Lord. Other places in the Scripture, I just want to show you quickly and then I'm done. In Luke chapter number 24, this is a great blessing to me. In Luke chapter number 24, verses 33 through 36, you'll find a man by the name of Cleopas and another disciple that was taking a 7-mile journey away from Jerusalem to a place called Emmaus. On that road, this is the third day after Jesus was crucified. And on this day, while they were taking their trip to Emmaus, the Bible said that the 11 was gathered back in Jerusalem in a room, and the doors were shut, possibly locked. And they were in that room and they were discouraged. They were down and out. They were kind of downtrodden. And the Bible said that Cleopas and this other man walked on their way to Emmaus. And while they walked, Jesus appeared. But they knew not that it was the Lord. The Bible says as they walked on and they talked with Jesus, not knowing it was Him, that Jesus turned in with them to the place where they were there in Emmaus. And the Bible said He expounded unto them Himself in the Scriptures, starting all the way back in the Old Testament. The Bible said when He took the bread and He broke it, symbolizing what just happened at a place called Golgotha, the Bible said their eyes began to be open and their hearts burned within them. And the Bible said immediately He was gone. He vanished out of their sight. The Bible tells us that Cleopas and the other disciple got up from where they were at. Instead of eating, instead of sitting around with downtrodden faces, they got up from where they were at, and I've got to believe they sprinted 7 miles back to Jerusalem. I believe they about knocked the door down, Shane, when they got where the 11 were at. And when they went into the room, this is what they said. They said, He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. How do you know He's alive? We've just been with Him. We've heard Him talk. We've seen Him. And we've watched Him break the bread. Previously in this chapter, and also over in the book of John, chapter number 20, you'll find a little lady by the name of Mary Magdalene that has already expressed to the disciples that we've seen the Lord. She's already told Peter and John. She's already told the others, Mary Magdalene has, that I've seen Him, I've seen the Lord. Preacher, when did she see Him? Do you remember when she went with the ladies to the garden early that morning? And the Bible said that when she got there, the Bible said they heard the Shining One say, He's not here, for He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay and go quickly and tell His disciples that He go before unto Galilee. And there shall you see Him. Lo, I've told you. The Bible said Mary Magdalene went and got Peter and John. The Bible said Peter and John came and they went in there and they looked and then they left. The Bible said, if you go read in John chapter 20, you'll find Mary Magdalene weeping. And the disciples asked her, "One woman, why weepest thou?" And she said, "Because they've taken my Lord." But when she turns around, guess who's standing in front of her? It's Jesus. And all He has to say, when she says, when he asks, "Woman, who seekest thou?" She says, she thought it was the gardener. "Sir, if you've borne Him thence, tell me where you've laid Him and I'll go get Him." And all He had to say was Mary. And she said, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." I want to draw your attention to a verse in John chapter number 20. This does something for me. In verse number 17 of John chapter number 20, He tells Mary, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9, you'll read in verse number 3, and I'm about done. You'll read in verse number 3, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. And in verses 7 through 12, you'll hear the writer in Hebrews say, "But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as yet the first tabernacle was yet standing." So the reason He says, "Don't touch me, Mary," it's because He's going to have to make a trip, Darren. You can't touch me right now. You can't handle me right now. I'm sorry, I know you want to embrace me. Just know I'm alive and I'm going to stay that way. Just know I'm alive and go tell my disciples that I'm a coming back. And I'll show myself, but you can't touch me yet. Because He was going to fulfill what was mentioned right here in the book of Hebrews. See, every year those men would go in, the high priest in the holiest of all, but they had to offer for themselves. Now He's not going to make His way into an earthly tabernacle. He's going to heaven. He's going to say good morning to the angels and to the Father. And He's going to take the blood and He's going to lay it on the mercy seat. And that blood is going to cover it all. Mary Magdalene has already went back, told these men, and in Luke chapter 24, when these men get back, They know all what's been said by Mary Magdalene and Mary and Salome and Joanna and all these different ladies, and they've heard what Cleopas has said and these others. But while the doors are shut, these two boys from Emmaus trying to expound, he's alive, he's alive. Jesus comes into the room. I've got to believe Cleopas asked the question, where you been? Where in the world have you been? And he said, I went to the glory world. I went to where the Father is, and I've presented the blood. Because without the shedding of blood, boys, there is no remission of sin. But it's finished. The plan of salvation is complete. And then maybe he said this, Darren, let whosoever will, let him come, take of the water of life freely. And you're going to hear him, Brother Steve, say in Luke chapter number 24, boys, come over here and handle me and see that it's me. It's me. I'm alive. I'm glad I've been to Calvary, aren't you? I'm glad I've been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter number 1, verse 18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they've been red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Preacher, how does that take place? I've been to Calvary. Isaiah said in Isaiah 53:5, he says, but he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. My. That's exactly what Moses needed. That's exactly what Mary Magdalene needed. That's exactly what Peter needed. Andrew and Bartholomew and Cleopas and those men, that's exactly what they needed. Spend a little time with Jesus. Thank God for you coming tonight. Thank God for you being faithful to the Lord and doing what you're supposed to do. And the sacrifices you've made. No matter where you're at tonight, God wants to supply those needs tonight. Not tomorrow night. Not next week. And when you walk away from here and those people that know you've been going through that disappointment say, where have you been? You just tell them, I've been to Calvary. You might be here tonight and you're lost. Wouldn't it be great to get saved tonight? And when you meet up with those buddies in the morning that you used to run with, and they can't figure out why you're talking differently, and they can't figure out why you don't want to do the things you once done, and they ask this question, where in the world have you been? You tell them, I've been to Calvary, and Jesus washed it away. Brother Darren.